Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. And if you are watching live on YouTube, you can see that I'm holding the microphone in my hand because I've broken the microphone boom arm once again. This is now the third time that I've broken this thing. I don't know why they let me back into the studio. I really don't. I don't know why they let me in this building. Because when I do the show from home, I don't break anything. I come here and I didn't do it on purpose, but I pulled it down and it's clearly broken. Right, you can see right there this part. So I don't know what we do about that, DeSantis. I guess we got to call somebody. Maintenance.
It's kind of
clean up.
It's kind of dangling there.
Yeah, it's just kind of hanging. So I could do this, you know. But I feel like Stalker's gonna friggin' kill me. I didn't do it on purpose. I pulled down. I'm on steroids, you know. I think that's what happened. So I have a medical excuse. The steroids for the shingles caused me to pull the microphone down and with my brute steroid strength, rip it literally right out of the housing that it belongs to right here. See that? And it's a clear crack on the plastic, so I can't even screw this baby back in. But I wonder if we can just replace this one piece right here. We might be okay. I'm wondering. This piece right here, you see that? And then if we get a new one of these, it goes right in there and bada bing, bada boom, we're in business. Unless it's stuck in the top here, then we might be out of business. I don't know. But this is what happens.
Third time in like maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
And that might be a generous estimation. It might be even less.
Yeah. And so now I got to hold this for the next 2 hours as I do the show. But this is why I'm a disaster. What can I tell you? I'm an accident prone disaster. It's just amazing. I didn't break my arm in the process. That's all I'm saying. All right. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. If you'd like to weigh in here, let me give you what's going on right now with this breaking news around special counsel Jack Smith. OK, but before I do, I want to play a couple clips for you from the media reacting to the debate and proving that J.D. Vance won and that Tim Walz lost and lost badly. So first of all, it's this. Let's begin with this. Kristen Welker, who is the moderator of Meet the Press, was talking last night after the debate and saying that people were getting very, very nervous in her circle of friends. Now, obviously, because by being the host of Meet the Depressed, she is friends with all Democrats. So this is what she said last night after the debate happened. Cut 16.
So I was getting texts from Democrats, panicked, quite frankly, who were saying, wow, he's really moderating himself on a lot of these issues. He's the most likable he has ever been.
Panicked Democrats. Here's Abby Phillips of CNN admitting that J.D. Vance demolished Tim Walz on the debate stage. Cut 15.
I think we shouldn't lose track. I think even in the civility of the fact that J.D. Vance came to this debate to land a bunch of punches, and he did. He landed a lot of punches in between all the niceties and all of that. And the thing that really stood out to me was that Tim Walz did not seem prepared for it.
Yeah, he did not seem prepared for it. People on YouTube are talking about how I'm suffering from Hulk disease. I was just ripping this down. Now I have to talk with one hand, which is as Italian is not easy. So I got to hold the microphone at least until we can get to this. This happened literally within seconds before I came back on the air. So I got to swap this out. If you're watching on YouTube, you know what I'm talking about. If you're listening, just know that I just broke the thing that holds the microphone. It's called a boom. And I broke the boom. All right. I broke the boom. ABC's Lindsay Davis likens Tim Walz's debate performance with Biden's debate performance. That's how bad she says it is. Cut 13.
I was struck by that as well. I think it was something that the team working with Donald Trump had hoped he had done during the presidential debate more than he did. J.D. Vance said it repeatedly tonight, yeah, saying, listen, she's had nearly 4 years to do that as vice president. Why hasn't she?
I feel like that was really effective. But I think overall tonight, if you're an undecided voter in America, I don't know that you come away with tonight with an additional clarity. It kind of reminded me of the June 27th debate when Kamala Harris that night said of Joe Biden, It was a slow start, but a strong finish. And that's how I felt that Tim Walz kind of did tonight. You know, to use Tim Walz's own words, I mean, a lot about this debate tonight was weird. There were uncomfortable, cringy moments. But overall, I think my takeaway was something that Reince Priebus said on the outset, which was that J.D. Vance needed to come away as that humble, likable guy from Hillbilly Elegy. It seemed like he did perhaps get some points in that area.
There you go. There you go. I think it's true. And here the CNN host discussing Tim Walz's failed attempt to explain his history of embellishing, you know, the time he came out and said, I'm a knucklehead sometimes. Take a listen.
You know this about Governor Walz now. He has a history of embellishing. He was asked about it by the... We're not going to toss to the town. Okay. Anyway, and he kind of fumbled around about it. What did you think?
Well, first of all, that was our K-File reporting, I believe, that first reported this. What I think isn't as relevant as what I was hearing from Democrats who were kind of doing it, whatever you do to cringe over a text, they were not thrilled about that answer.
It was very cringy. I mean, and he should have known that it was coming.
It was cringy. It was cringy. Cringy's a good word. Cringy. It's true. That's an understatement, though. It's a little bit cringy. And MSNBC accused J.D. Vance of mansplaining because he pushed back, and I played you the clip earlier, of pushing back on the moderators for fact-checking when they said they wouldn't fact-check. So you know what? Just to refresh your memory, why don't we play that? I'll play that clip first, and then you can decide if you believe that's mansplaining or not. I believe the clip, the first one, is cut number three. Take a listen.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you. Senator, we have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
because we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
Laws,
we have so much to get to, Senator.
Pathway.
Those
have
laws
so
have been
much...
on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The
we want to have...
The app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's
okay, so now I'm going to ask you if you agree, and especially if you're listening and you're a woman, if that was mansplaining, okay? I don't think he can help the fact that the moderators are women. And I think that it's sexist to suggest that because they're women, what, they should get a pass if they break the rules that they set out because you can't interject if they're women. I thought women and men are supposed to be treated the same. So if a male moderator did that after a male moderator said they were not going to fact check, then wouldn't you assume that somebody would jump in there and say, hey, dude, not for nothing, but you said you weren't going to fact check, right? So, but of course, MSNBC, the always brilliant Nicole Wallace, and I mean that sarcastically, explaining why J.D. Vance was actually sexist in that moment, cut 18.
Like muting power.
Yeah.
And I actually think if you're a woman, that might be the worst moment J.D. Vance had, because he was going to mansplain right over that mute button. He was, and again, I don't pretend to know how everyone will react to this. I think that a lot of women in positions of authority that should command respect just by virtue of that dynamic will see themselves and some dude that disrespected them and talked over. I mean, there was a moment like that with the vice presidential in the Harris-Pence debate where she's.
Yeah, see that? New York Times editorial board, which is obviously the far right wing New York Times, was asked who they thought won the debate. 9 on the New York Times editorial board said J.D. Vance, including Jamelle Bouie. 2 said no winner. That was Gail Collins, despite declaring the debate a tie, said Walz was so bad in much of his delivery. 2 said Walz won, but one of them was Charles Blow. And I don't think anybody takes anything Charles Blow says seriously. So that's even the New York Times editorial board conceding that Tim Walz lost the debate last night. And here's an undecided voters who were looking to potentially now vote for Waltz, and then they decided they're going to now vote for Trump. I can't find that clip. I don't know, Matt, if you have it in front of you. We have a ton of audio today. Let's see. Post
second.
Yeah. Actually, you know, before that, John Carl from ABC News, even he had to admit last night that Tim Waltz had a pretty bad debate night. Even he had to admit that from ABC News, cut 12.
You know, but first, David, I got to say, I think that Walls did seem unsteady. And frankly, what I saw in Walls is somebody who has not faced questions on a national stage since he became the Democratic nominee. He was simply out of practice. I mean, I don't know why they've done it, but they've kept him out of the limelight. They've kept him away from reporters. They haven't had him do any interviews. And he was clearly unsteady through much of that debate. And in contrast, J.D. Vance was very smooth. He took the arguments not to Walls. He was very respectful of Walls, took it to Kamala Harris.
So... It was not a good night for Waltz. It just was not a good night. Here, cut 10. Before the VP debate, two voters said they were voting for Trump, two said they were voting for Harris, and two said they were undecided. By the end of the vice presidential debate last night, those two undecided said they would now vote for Donald Trump. So like I said, this debate, I think at this particular moment in political history, matters. In other years, vice presidential debates don't matter. But as I tell you, every election is different. In this election, in this moment in time, it does certainly matter. Take a listen.
Before the debate started, two of the voters said that they were going to vote for Trump. Two said they would vote for Harris. Two said they were undecided. But by the end of it, those two undecided said they would vote for Trump.
There you go. There you go. Washington Post poll. Polled voters. 14 picked Vance as the winner. 8 people picked Waltz. The only people that picked Waltz, though, were those that were supporting Harris and Waltz going in. So there you go. I do have another audio clip for you. This is of the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, speaking with Dana Bash on CNN. She did not like J.D. Vance's performance last night. She was not happy about it. The fangs are out. The vampiric one, not pleased with J.D. Vance. Here she is with Dana Bash on CNN. Take a listen.
In terms of last night, what can you say? You saw the difference between truth and trust in terms of Walls and con and slick in terms of this administration is for an abortion ban, a national abortion ban. And when they say leave it up to the states have their own abortion bans. We need to protect them by having Roe v. Wade be the national policy of our country. I don't know what hope she saw in that. A woman's right to choose is to choose to have the child or not have the child, or to engage in contraception, which the Republicans, 194 of them, voted women do not have the right to contraception. So understand this, women of America, I'm a mother of five children, 6 years and 7 days. I have two birthdays this week of my children, and it is wonderful for me, but not up to me to decide what other people should do, nor is it up to Vance or Trump. Understand this, in their 2025 project, they not only want to have a federal ban on abortion, they want to close the Department of Education to educate those children. The list goes on and on. I think that was clever to use that personal connection, but it isn't real in terms of women having the right to make their own decisions and not politicians making their decisions for them.
Do you realize how desperate the vampiric one is here? Trying to cling back to that old attack point on abortion. I mean, that's they have nothing. They have nothing but to try to cling back to this. It's really amazing. By the way, there's a new Department of Homeland Security Inspector General report that has found that Customs and Border Protection, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the TSA did not fully assess risks associated with releasing non-citizens without identification into the United States and allowing them to travel on domestic flights. But when it comes to the TSA, they 100% make you throw away your water bottle because it could be a bomb, even though they're putting it all into a gigantic bin that they're all standing next to other potential bombs that would all go boom, 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 in a big, big bomb boomerang explosion if they were, in fact, bombs. But when it comes to releasing non-citizens into the United States without proper identification and then getting them, allowing them to travel on domestic flights, that they're like, eh, that's no big thing. As long as that Dasani is not getting through here, we're okay. All right? As long as that illegal immigrant without identification does not have a Dasani bottle, he's fine to get on that flight. But takes that Dasani through, we're going to have a real problem. A real, real problem. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli as I'm clutching the broken microphone boom in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers. And now I have to hold it the entire time. Tom is at the Jersey Shore. Tom, what's going on, my man? Where in the Jersey Shore are you?
Hey, Rich, Summers Point.
Okay, I got
and
you.
Next week, Kate May.
Good, my man. Look forward to seeing you there Friday night. Next Friday.
I'll be looking forward to it. Hey, listen, I really enjoyed the debate last night. Vance, in my opinion, really upped his stock because the media was blasting him. Now he got to become personal and likable to everybody. It would have been more fun if I watched the other side of the debate if he went after Waltz on all of his other failings. But he took the high road, but it worked out well.
Now, yeah, I think it did work out well. Go ahead.
Yeah, it really did. Now, the only thing is, it's not meant as a criticism, but I wish he would have pushed back on Waltz regarding the so-called bipartisan immigration. Waltz kept using that as a go-to line that he kept that he had rehearsed about 100 times.
Yeah,
and we both know, and I don't have to list them all, the faults of the bipartisan immigration bill. And he could have just listed a few of those bullet points, such as completely neutering the president or any other future president of doing anything, because there were so many mandates in the bill with the number of immigrants or migrants that can cross every day. And we both know the rest of them, and I know that the audience does, but I just wish he would have pushed back on that one a little.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call, buddy. And look forward to seeing you next Friday night.
Next week. Yes.
All right. Thank you, pal. 855-839-1210. We are... this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live next Friday, October 11th, for our next live show. So join us in Cape May a week from Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's a beautiful place to stay. You'll love it there, and you'll love the live show. You don't have to stay. You just come to the show if you want. But if you want to stay, make a weekend out of it. It's a holiday weekend. So there you go. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a great time. I'm getting lots of advice what to do with this microphone from our YouTube community. I appreciate it. But I have no ability to do anything at the moment. Matt DeSantis, have you contacted engineering to let them know that I've once again broken the mic boom arm by chance?
It's after 5 o'clock. There's no chance any of them are even left.
Oh, God, please tell me you've texted Scalish, please. I don't want to deal with Stalker coming in tomorrow and having to deal with, Kale's going to be whiny about this. Just please text him. Maybe he can run in a replacement.
I'll text him right now.
Text him right now, please. Text Frank. Text somebody and see if they can fix this again. This is boom arm number 3. They're going to start deducting this from my pay. That's what they're going to do. You know what I mean? So I appreciate that. Do that for me if you could. All right, so let me get into what the special counsel filing is here. And Jonathan Turley has a great thread on this, so I want to share that with you. And I think you're going to hear a lot of the media tonight with the breaking news, especially as they try to get away from the fact that Tim Walz got his Midwestern doofus behind kicked last night. They're going to get right back to the bombshell special counsel. This is the headline from ABC News. Bombshell special counsel filing includes new allegations of Trump's increasingly desperate efforts to overturn the 2020 election. NBC Washington. Trump resorted to crimes to stay in office after losing the 2020 election, prosecutors say in new filing. Jack Smith released a 165-page filing claiming Donald Trump is not immune from prosecution and his actions were private criminal conduct. Okay, that just happened. Jonathan Turley has a thread on this. I'm going to share it with you. Judge Chutkin, as expected, has ordered the release of the Smith filing weeks before the election. Smith fought unsuccessfully to try Trump before the election, but has now been allowed to release this scathing report. Smith was clearly eager to get this out before the public, before the public, despite the Justice Department policies that encourage prosecutors to avoid acts that would be viewed as trying to influence an election. Jack Smith is trying to thread the needle in this filing to get around the Supreme Court immunity decision. Notably, Smith removed evidence from the new indictment, but kept the same claims, including conduct that seems to fall within protected areas. Smith is just categorically claiming that, quote, at its core, the defendant's scheme was a private one. He extensively used private actors and his campaign infrastructure to attempt to overturn the election results and operated in a private capacity as a candidate for office. Turley goes on, what Smith was not willing to do is actually reduce the underlying claims. The new case is to indictments what shrinkflation is to products, same package, just less content. Smith knows that he has a motivated and supportive judge and wants to simply prove the same basic claims on less evidence. That's the latest thread from Jonathan Turley as he analyzes all of this, and we will have to see. I would tell you that obviously coming out right now on October 1st and whether or not this is the October surprise, there's also a story that came out today regarding the first gentle person, Doug Emhoff, the beta male of the United States of America, B. Modus, that he beat the crap out of a woman he was dating. That story in the Daily Mail. But no, this, they are trying to obviously make people believe that Trump deserves to be indicted and that he is it's playing right into the Democrat talking points as Trump's a dictator and he's going to destroy democracy, etc. Jack Smith is aiding and abetting them in their quest here. No question about it. And to do so on October 2nd, here we are, October 2nd, actually, to do that October 2nd and then to come out and to help boost the claims of the Democrats that Trump is a dictator trying to overthrow democracy, which is what Jack Smith is doing, is shameful. He actually took out evidence because that evidence was from people who worked for the president of the United States to then argue that there are only private actors involved. Therefore, it would pass the Supreme Court's immunity ruling, which said that presidents have immunity for their official actions. Okay. Now, I have not read this new filing. How could I? It just happened as the show began. But this is definitely a way for Jack Smith, who is hell-bent on seeing Donald Trump lose this election, so that he can prosecute him and put him away in prison. That is what Jack Smith wants to do. Let's make no mistake about it. Jack Smith, who in my mind is not a special counsel, I agree with Judge Eileen Cannon's assessment. Judge Eileen Cannon ruled that Jack Smith is not a special counsel. He does not meet the definition that there is no special counsel statute. He was not confirmed by the United States Senate as the United States attorney would be. So I agree with her ruling on that. Of course, obviously, that is not been affirmed by the Supreme Court. So as of now, Jack Smith is still on the case. So he's hell bent on getting Trump. And he knows that if Trump wins, Trump's going to fire him and fire Merrick Garland. And Trump is probably going to pardon himself, too. Or at least he won't have to, because he's not going to have an attorney general and who's going to appoint a special prosecutor who's going to go after him anymore. And Trump can get back to being the business at hand of being president of the United States. So, I mean, he probably doesn't even need to pardon himself because his own Justice Department's not going to come after him. And why would they? This is all nonsense anyway. Jack Smith knows that. And he wants to get Trump. So by doing this today on October 2nd, with 34 days to go before the election, he's sending a clear message. Hey, everything the Democrats are saying about this guy is true. He's a thug. He's trying to overturn the democracy. He is a danger to democracy. And everything you hear about him is absolutely 100% correct. and that is what's going to happen. So you have Jack Smith now giving an in-kind campaign contribution to Kamala Harris, to the Harris-Waltz campaign, and doing it on a day after Waltz got his Midwestern doofus behind kicked by J.D. Vance. Because let's face it, now this is going to be a major distraction from the vice presidential debate. I imagine that if I were to reach over and grab the remote, which I can't do at the moment since I have to clutch the microphone in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers, and I turned it over to CNN, or any of the other networks, they're going to be that's all they're going to be talking about. I guarantee you at 6:30 tonight, ABC, CBS, and NBC will all be talking about this. I guarantee it. And so for that reason, for all those reasons, you can say that this is an in-kind campaign contribution to the Harris-Waltz campaign by Jack Smith, who in my mind is not actually a real special counsel. All right, I'll give you more details on this as the more breaking news on this comes out. But like I always tell you, the breaking news happens on this show. That's why I love Afternoon Drive. I love being back in afternoons for a lot of reasons. But one of them is that we always get to react usually almost every day to whatever's breaking all around us, even if what's breaking is the microphone boom arm because I broke it. We'll be reacting to that, too. So I saw our operations director, Frank Canal, pacing in the hallway, waiting for me to go to break. I'm hoping that he's going to be able to do something when I go to break. So you're also wondering why I don't stream till 7 o'clock. It's stuff like this. I think 3 hours of streaming is enough. I can only cause so much damage in 3 hours. You know what I mean? You don't need 4 hours of this. And DeSantis, see if you can grab this clip. Biden, nobody can deny the climate crisis after the hurricane. He literally sounds like he's a pile of pudding sitting there speaking right now. That just happened a few moments ago as well. But listen, the Grand Hotel in Cape May, New Jersey, which we're going to be live October 11th, is my happy place. And I would love for you to join us there. We do our live broadcasts. We get to hang out together, have a wonderful time, make memories. And it's always a lot of fun. The bar is open. The food at Hemingway's restaurant is great. You will love it. And did you know that they have a special code just for you? Yeah, I see Frank's got an extra microphone boom arm. He's holding it in the hallway right now. Thank God. All right, good. I'm going to break in just a second, Frank. Thank you. You're a hero. Hey, Frank, not all heroes wear capes. You got that? Not all heroes wear capes, my man. That's right. All right. So you have a special code just for you, 25% off when you use my name, Zeoli, at GrandHotelCapeMay.com or when you call them at 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550. Always book direct with them for the best rates and visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com. You can't combine this with any other offer, but 25% off midweek stay, and there's no minimum required. Just use Zeoli, Z-E-O-L-I, at checkout from now until December 31st. Fantastic, right? The Grand Hotel is beautiful. Beautiful heated indoor pool, restaurant on site with great breakfast, lunch, and dinner, wonderful bar, and wonderful people. And we'll see you there Friday, October 11th for my next live show at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rick Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I appreciate all the suggestions on the YouTube chat on how to fix the microphone, but our buddy Frank Canale came in and Frank Canale, he took care of it for me. Matt, thanks for texting him. And he said, stop breaking microphones. I'm going to do my best to not break this one and not make it number four. And so, well, I think the issue is right here. I like to move it up and down. And I think, I don't know, I'm guessing Kale comes in the morning and probably tightens it. But I like to, you know, move it. So anyway, I like to move it. But then I don't know, it's kind of wobbly. I hate this setup. I really do. Because when I'm at home, I stand up and I like that better. But here, if I stand up and it's a bad shot with the camera. So I have to sit. And then I hate this. You know what I mean? I really should never come in studio to Santa. So there's no reason to. I don't know what I'm doing here. Not like anybody wants me here.
I'm sure engineering would appreciate it if you stayed home. You destroy their equipment regularly.
I destroy the equipment. It's not like the producers want me here. They don't want to stare at me through the glass like I'm a freaking sea otter. They don't need to stare at me.
I want you to stay.
You don't just look at me. You want to look at me? You could look on YouTube like everybody else. You know what I mean? And management doesn't seem to care. They were like, how'd you get here today? They were like, ha-ha, very funny. Ha-ha, you're so funny. Like, why'd you come in? Did your wife kick you out or something? Like, ha-ha, I get it. That's funny. No, you know what it is? I like to come in a couple days because I like to get away. I do like to get out of the house. It's nice. You know what I mean? It's especially when you have three kids. But, you know, when I'm done at 7 and I'm home, I'm 7:01, I'm upstairs and I'm with the kids and we're having dinner together, which is nice. If you know, but Patrick has practiced tonight, so he's not going to get done till late. So, you know, I'll get over there and watch his practice and I just won't get to do bedtime with the girls tonight. That's the only downside to doing it from the studio. But and the other thing, too, is I like risking my life every day by coming into Philadelphia and potentially getting carjacked and mugged and killed. You know, it's going to be daylight savings soon. I don't know when. What day is that? November something or other. And then we're going to walk out of here. It's going to be pitch black. You know that, right? Pitch black every night. So it's already getting dark out.
November 3rd is daylight savings.
November 3rd.
Time.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's 5:40. It's already getting dark out now, you know? So, anyway, I'm just making that point. But, you know, I'm a disaster. So, we fixed it. The microphone is good. And the YouTube chat, I appreciate all your wonderful comments. Are we streaming again? We got the camera going? Yeah, we do.
Yep.
Nice. Look at that. Excellent stuff. Good stuff. All right. I wanted to share with you a story about Venezuela and oil, because I'm tired of this administration's lies on freaking everything. Biden, Chevron's oil, and Venezuela. The White House is letting Maduro keep his oil revenue lifeline. You have to understand something. This guy Maduro down there in Venezuela lost the election and has imprisoned his political opponent and all the people that were against him. And we are empowering this guy and have been empowering this guy for quite some time. So he gave a shout out to the people of Venezuela last week at the United Nations by saying the following. Venezuela, where millions cast their vote for change, it hasn't been recognized, but it can't be denied. The world knows the truth. That's what Biden said. So the question the Wall Street Journal asks is, why isn't Biden doing more to help the people who voted for the opposition candidate Edmundo González Urrutia against the dictator Nicolas Maduro? And the reason why is because Democrats are full of crap when they tell you that they care about saving democracy. They're full of it. They don't care. They don't want democracy. They love dictators. They're full of it. All right. They haven't even declared him to be the rightful president, which has caused others in the Americas to hesitate in backing the election winner, who has fled to Spain to avoid arrest. Worse, Treasury hasn't revoked its 2022 general license for Chevron Corp to export oil from Venezuela. Chevron's production is generating more than $100 million a month in income to the Maduro regime. Remember, Biden and his war on energy in this country, he doesn't want drilling. But he's more than happy to empower people like Maduro. Now, the editorial board said, we don't usually say this, but Mr. Biden might listen to Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. The Democrat has drafted legislation that he says would immediately halt investment by the United States in the energy sector of Venezuela until the legitimate results of the July 28th, 2024 elections are respected. Without Chevron, Maduro would have less hard currency to pay the military rank and file. And that's the reason why the military supports him. For now, the army is backing him, which, as Durbin's bill notes, has arrested and abused thousands of innocent citizens of Venezuela, including children, for peaceful political participation. This is the Biden administration supporting this, just like they support China and the human rights abuses. And again, the corporate media is never going to cover this. Be like, oh, it's boring. Do a lifestyle segment on Taylor Swift and Kelsey. Why would we cover this? Thousands of people, innocent people, convicted of crimes, killed, imprisoned in Venezuela as we make that country rich with $100 million a month in oil revenue. Ah. And their oil's dirtier than our oil. But who cares about that, right? And then the Democrats will scream about democracy. And then we're supposed to believe that they're sincere as they're letting Maduro stay in power, as they're letting the Shah in Iran get richer and richer, the supreme leader in Iran get more powerful and richer, as they get Putin richer off his natural gas, as we have a liquid natural gas export ban. How we empower China, the dictatorship of China, by buying all their solar panels and wind turbines to destroy our coast. I mean, these people are amazing. They're amazing. Treasury says it has sanctioned over 140 Venezuelan individuals and 100 Venezuelan entities. That's a $15 million U.S. bounty offered for information leading to the capture of Maduro and a $10 million reward for Diosdado Cabello, chief enforcer for the repression, but starving the regime of cash has the best chance of unseating the capos who are running things in Venezuela, because those guys are, in fact, in charge of everything. Nearly 8 million Venezuelans have fled the country since Maduro took power a decade ago. The argument that protecting the regime's oil income will stop this human migration is fanciful. The regime is the cause of the exodus. Durbin's bill gives those in Congress who say they care about Venezuelan people a chance to do something. But you got to remember two things. The Democrats love the Green New Deal, which is a scam, but they know we need oil, so they want Venezuela to still produce it. It's just like they know that they need oil in the market, so they're going to have Iran keep going, even though Iran attacks Israel. They're not going to get in the way of that. And you remember what Dr. Victoria Coates said on this program yesterday? She said the reason why we did not have an oil crisis in 2019, we went after Iran's oil, is because we had a plan to ensure that the same amount of oil, 2 million barrels a day, would stay on the market. This administration has no plan. But they don't want the United States to be drilling. That's why when Trump comes out and says, drill, baby, drill, we got to stop empowering dictators. We got to stop empowering countries like Venezuela and Iran. And if you care about freedom, how can you support that? If you, I mean, it makes no sense to anybody, but I just want you to understand the hypocrisy of these Democrats. Because tonight you're going to hear all kinds of things about Jack Smith and Donald Trump, and it's going to lead every newscast. In fact, now that I got my boom arm fixed, grab the remote control so I can switch over to what the other stations are chatting about here. And I guarantee you they are all going all in on this new filing by Jack Smith. So let's go over to MSNBC, for example. Deadline White House with the phony Nicole Wallace, breaking news. Unsealed Jack Smith filing. Pence told Trump there was no evidence of election fraud. Okay, well, Pence has been saying that. What's new here? There's nothing new. As Jonathan Turley points out, there's nothing new in this. He's just taken evidence out, evidence of people who were actually in the executive office of the president for the purposes of trying to get around the United States Supreme Court and their ruling on presidential immunity and saying that presidents have immunity for official actions. So in this refiling and this unsealing by Judge Chutkan, who also wants to see Trump go down, the filing suggests now that this was, in fact, private actions by Donald Trump and his campaign people. This is October 2nd, 34 days to go until the election. The debate last night, Tim Walz got his Midwestern doofus behind kicked by J.D. Vance, and all this is happening right now. And if you want to think about an October surprise, I'm telling you, people don't care. They just don't care. You know what they care about? They care about the economy, and they care about how the economy was in January of 2021. And they know that this guy, Jack Smith, is hell-bent on getting Trump. They see it. And they're still, and yet, you would think that with all the prosecutions against Trump, he'd be down by 10 points right now. And I believe he's leading in every single swing state, which is why, again, they're going to keep trying here. They're going to keep trying. Jack Smith has one goal, defeat Donald Trump. Defeat Donald Trump, knock him out of office so that Donald Trump can go and be prosecuted. Because if Trump wins, he's not going to be prosecuted, obviously. And in the meantime, we have this mush brain, Joe Biden. This is Biden from a short time ago speaking in North Carolina. I think it was North Carolina. I don't even know where it is. Could be in D.C., actually, talking about the response. Do you know where it is, Matt, by chance? where Biden's speaking.
Yeah, you're right. It is a rally in North Carolina.
In North Carolina. Okay, here's Biden. Take a listen.
Let me close with this. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis anymore. At least I hope they don't. They must be brain dead if they do.
You're brain dead. You're brain dead. I don't know how you can link this to the climate crisis, but that's what Democrats do all the time. That's what they always do. Then why don't you stop buying oil from Venezuela? Why don't you, which is dirtier oil than the United States oil? Why don't you back natural gas, which is clean burning? Why don't you support more nuclear power, which has zero emissions? If you really care about climate, and that's why I think J.D. Vance nailed that answer last night. If you guys were serious about this, if you really believed all this, why do you keep buying solar panels that are made in China? Why do you keep empowering dictators? Why do you keep empowering dictators around the world? Why do you keep doing that? I thought that was one of his best answers last night. It really was. And, you know, I played it earlier, but I think it's worth playing again, given what I said about Venezuela and given what you just heard Biden say right there about climate change. I think it's one of his strongest points last night during the debate. Cut number seven. Cut seven, Matt. Sorry. Seven.
If they really believe that climate change is serious, what they would be doing is more manufacturing and more energy production in the United States of America, and that's not what they're doing. So clearly, Kamala Harris herself doesn't believe her own rhetoric on this. If she did, she would actually agree with Donald Trump's energy policies. Now, something Governor Walz said I think is important to touch upon, because when we talk about clean energy, I think that's a slogan that often the Democrats will use here. And I'm talking, of course, about the Democratic leadership, and the real issue is that if you're spending hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars of American taxpayer money on solar panels that are made in China, number one, you're going to make the economy dirtier. We should be making more of those solar panels here in the United States of America. Some of them are, Tim, but a lot of them are being made overseas in China, especially the components. Those solar panels. So if you really want to make the environment cleaner, you've got to invest in more energy production. We haven't built a nuclear facility, I think one, in the past 40 years.
Senator.
Natural gas, we got to invest more in it. Kamala Harris has done the opposite. That's raised energy prices and also meant that we're doing
worse
by the climate.
Senator, your
time is up. Your time is up, Senator. Senator, your time is up. He's exactly right. And yet, you know, we empower these bad guys. Maduro is literally now, he lost the election. His opponent had to flee to Spain. And you know what else Maduro did? He changed Christmas to October. I don't mean a Christmas in October sale. I don't mean how you go to Costco now and there's you know, cheap Christmas, Fugazi Christmas trees. I mean, he literally changed the holiday to October. So this guy is a madman. And yet we empower him and the Biden administration is doing nothing about it. The Democrats are full of crap when they talk about defending democracy. They're so full of it, and I honestly, their lies just infuriate me. They really do. J.D. Vance cooked Tim Walz on the Trump versus Kamala economic records. I thought he did a great job with this last night. Cut number four. Cut four.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
So appreciate that. So if you notice, what Governor Walz just did is he said, first of all, Donald Trump has to listen to the experts. And then when he acknowledged that the experts screwed up, he said, well, Donald Trump didn't do nearly as good of a job as the statistics
show
that he did. So what Tim Walz is doing, and I honestly, Tim, I think you got a tough job here, because you've got to play whack-a-mole. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver rising take-home pay, which of course he did. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver lower inflation, which of course he did. And then you've simultaneously got to defend Kamala Harris's atrocious economic record, which has made gas, groceries, and housing unaffordable for American citizens. I was raised by a woman who would sometimes go into medical debt so that she could put food on the table in our household. I know what it's like to not be able to afford the things that you need to afford. We can do so much better. To all of you watching, we can get back to an America that's affordable again. We just got to get back to common sense economic principles.
Exactly right. And he said, you know, Donald Trump's economic policies delivered. And that's the thing. And that goes in line with what that article from the Inquirer that I shared with you earlier said, which is that you've got all these voters in Philly, blue Philadelphia, who voted for Clinton are now voting for Trump. And a lot of Latinos leading the way, but they're working class people and they get this. They understand this. Cut five.
Now, Donald Trump's economic plan is not just a plan, but it's also a record. A lot of those same economists attack Donald Trump's plans, and they have PhDs, but they don't have common sense, and they don't have wisdom. Because Donald Trump's economic policies delivered the highest take-home pay in a generation in this country, 1.5% inflation, and to boot, peace and security all over the world. So when people say that Donald Trump's economic plan doesn't make sense, I say, look at the record. He delivered rising take-home pay for American workers. Now, Tim admirably admits that they want to undo the Trump tax cuts. But if you look at what was so different about Donald Trump's tax cuts, even from previous Republican tax cut plans, is that a lot of those resources went to giving more take-home pay to middle-class and working-class Americans. It was passed in 2017, and you saw an American economic boom unlike we've seen in a generation in this country. That is a record that I'm proud to run on, and we're going to get back to that common sense wisdom so that you can afford to live the American dream again. I know a lot of you are struggling. I know a lot of you are worried about paying the bills. It's going to stop when Donald Trump brings back common sense to this country.
The numbers are showing this. The numbers are showing this, too. That Inquirer article, and again, I referenced it earlier in case you missed it, but it's a big deal. Democrats are... In deep blue Philly, working class voters are shifting toward Republicans. Democrats have lost the most ground in neighborhoods where poverty rates are highest. It could hurt Kamala Harris in November. It's a big, big deal. It's a big deal. It's everything. I think it's everything. I really, really do. All right, big 6 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead for you. We got a lot to talk about in our fourth and final hour. Thank you for watching us on the YouTube stream. My buddy Andy Bloom's going to join me next. He's in Minnesota. He knows what a doofus Tim Walz is, first and foremost. But listen, how's your backyard? Is it wet? Do you have water in your backyard? As the winter comes, that water is going to freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw and cause all kinds of problems to your foundation. It's going to cost you money, lots and lots of money. So do something about it by reaching out to Garden State Earthworks. My buddy Lou Vargo, a great guy, 856-848-4444. Give him a call right now and leave a message. He's my buddy. He will take great care of you. Our new backyard, our new house was a swamp, and he drained the water away. We've never had another problem again. That's what he'll do for you. The work is guaranteed. And you don't want to mess with this. And water problems never get better on their own. They only get worse. So reach out to them today. GardenStateEarthworks.com. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Easy number to remember. They are the real deal company. And in our old house, they solved my wet basement problem. So trust Garden State Earthworks for your water problems. And do it now before the winter weather comes and it's too late. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.